Good to see each one out today and this very cold April day to be able to come into this warm building and to sing these songs of praise and surround the table and partake of this great spiritual feast. And that's what it is, and that's what I want to talk about for the next few minutes here under the title of Food for the Fed Up. And unfortunately, when we look at worship and the things that surround worship, too many people, to be very blunt, are fed up with worship. They're bored with it at times and wonder what it's all about and say, well, I just don't get anything out of the worship. They feel like they've heard it all before, and worship becomes very predictable and isn't any fun, and the sermons, to them anyway, sound like they're just warmed up leftovers. And I hope that's not the case. And so what I want to do this morning for just a few minutes together is to give you a very practical lesson about being ready and getting the most out of worship. Because it is a very precious time when we're together on Sunday morning. Some folks aren't able to come back on Sunday night due to health concerns and other factors. And so when we get together on Sunday morning, we usually have our biggest crowd of the times that we have the building open. And we want to gain the most from our being together and praising God and giving Him glory. And so this morning I hope to give you, if you're a little fed up with worship or say maybe you're not getting out of it, maybe what you should, some things you can think about, things that you can do that you will get the very most out of the worship experience that we have together. If you received a Sunday talk when you came in, if you look there on page 3, there are a few blanks to fill in. The outline of the lesson is there. We invite you to look at that as we go through it then together. So, what is food for the fed up? First of all, if you're filling in the blanks there, you need to get ready for the feast. You need to get ready for dinner. And it's more than just getting dressed and putting on your Sunday best to be able to come and to worship God. It's an attitude adjustment. It's an attitude to say, because worship can be a feast for us as well as glory unto God, a time to say, feed me, I'm hungry. Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount is recorded there in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 6 says, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. I hope that in your mindset in getting ready to come and worship God, you're ready to get filled up. That you're ready because you're hungering and you're thirsting for what we're going to do. You want to hear the message of the songs. You want to pray along with those who are leading us in prayer. You want to listen to the sermon because you know you're going to get some food there that's going to feed the soul and help you to be all that you can be. No one dreads a good meal. When you go out to one of your favorite restaurants, maybe you'll be doing that here in just a few minutes after we conclude our services. You probably don't dread that. Fact is, you're probably looking forward to it. And if you go out maybe on a very special time with your family or your spouse and you say, well, this night is the night we normally eat out or we do lunch together every week at this particular place or time, it's something that you look forward to. It's something special in your week to be able to have that. I hope that you come with worship as the same attitude that, you know, this is going to be a good meal. This is going to be something that I'm going to gain equipment. I'm going to gain spiritual fuel to be able to go out the week and to do greater things. And truly, you want to be filled up as much as possible. When you go to the restaurant and your meal isn't just right, it's disappointing because you want your money's worth, but you want to be filled up. And you come with the attitude of walking away filled up after you've left. And I hope that's true with your spiritual time in worship as well. That is this not something that's rote and planned and practiced, but you come with the attitude, I came to be filled up. I came to be spiritually energized because of being together and doing all that we do when we come together for worship. As Chris read for us there out of 1 Peter chapter 2, there in verse 2, we are to long for the pure spiritual milk of the Word and grow in respect thereby unto our salvation. How are we learning? Are we yearning for that spiritual milk? Again, I hope church isn't something or worship isn't something that you kind of punch in at 10:30 and then you punch out at 11:30 and say, well, I guess I've done my duty to God. I've put in an hour's worth of worship. but rather your attitude is one to say, I'm hungry. I'm ready for a feast. I'm ready to come and to fill up as much as I can on the good things that I'm going to learn through the songs, through the prayers, through the table talk, through the sermon, through the scripture reading. That'll give me the equipment that I need, the spiritual food that I need out in the world. And so I hope that if you didn't do it this morning, that you'll do it in preparation for tonight's assembly, or you'll do it in preparation for the next Lord's Day assembly, and you'll have an attitude when you get up to say, what can I learn today? What can I get out of this? Oh, I'm ready to be filled up. I'm ready then to sit down to this wonderful feast that we call worship. Secondly, then you need to sit down to the meal. Sit down to the wonderful meal that is provided there for you. Don't nibble, don't snack, don't fill up on the wrong things. Maybe you've already read Sunday's paper today. And maybe you've already been reading a magazine on something or whatever, and your mind is elsewhere. Let me challenge you that before you come to worship, spend time in God's Word before you get here. Chances are you'll know ahead of time by the e-talk that you get or the bulletin or whatever what the sermon topic is going to be. Take a look at the scripture reading. And don't fill your mind up with junk food and other such things that might be wholesome in and of themselves, but they'll detract from what we're really trying to accomplish here in glorifying God and giving you something in which to use spiritually. In Acts chapter 2 and verse 42, the scripture there says they were continually devoting themselves to the apostles' doctrine, to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and unto prayer. Continually devoting themselves. That's right. Their diet consisted of the Word of God. And they weren't crowding it out and feeding their soul with all kinds of other junk things. And so when doing so, they were hungry when they came together, and they were devoting themselves unto the good things that they were able to sit down to. In 1 Corinthians chapter 16 and verse 15, Paul writes, I urge you, brethren, to have yourselves devoted for the ministry to the saints. Devoted to ministry. Devoted to service. When we come together, it's one way to be recharged and refueled, that you can go out then the rest of today, next week, this week, and do wonderful service projects. Without being recharged, without having the spiritual equipment that you can gain by coming to worship, you won't have what you need to carry on your life. Worship, I believe, is a six-course meal. If I were to tell you, I want you to come to my house for a six-course meal, you'd say, what day and what time? Bonnie would faint, you know, because I'm inviting all these people, all right? But truly, we wouldn't turn that down. But I'm here to tell you that too many times we turn down worship and don't realize that it's a six-course spiritual feast. Prayer. Prayers from the heart. One sister told me a few years ago, a member of this congregation, that every time a brother comes up here to pray publicly, she repeats the words in her mind so that she can stay focused on those prayers. And you know, ever since she told me that, I do that very often myself. And you know what happened? I got more out of the prayers. Too many times, if you're like me, the mind tends to wander and you've got your head bowed and then maybe your eyes closed, and it's easy for that concentration to slip. And all of a sudden that brother says, in Jesus' name, amen. And you're thinking, whoa, what'd they pray? I lost that thought. Let me encourage you, as she does, to repeat in your mind what that brother is saying in his prayer. Truly, we have brothers who give very good, specific prayers mentioning various needs as they come up here. And if you want to get the most out of this spiritual feast, don't come fed up, but come ready to be filled by the prayers that are offered. Then there's the Lord's Supper, the time that we surround the Lord's table as part of this spiritual feast. And we remember Calvary and what Jesus did there, dying and shedding His blood for the remission of our sins. What a very special time that is. We remember the Lord's death, and we tell the world that that's what we believe in when we partake of that supper. I hope as you partake of that supper, it's a wonderful time to reflect and to examine, and you say, yes, I need to grow, or I'm thankful for what I have, thankful for the sacrifice of the Lord, and you feast off that Lord's Supper. Then there's the fellowship. the time where we encourage one another. And I hope that you've considered whom you might encourage today in coming here and not just be a sponge and say, well, I'm here, fill me up. Well, I'll be glad to try to fill you up. And the song leader will be glad to try to fill you up. And everyone who participates in the service will be here to fill you up. But you need not be a total sponge and to realize that there are people that can use your encouragement. And I hope that you'll use the time that we have together on Sunday morning to do just that. Because I guarantee you, the teacher always learns more than the student. I've believed that for years. I still believe it. And when it comes to the encouragement, you can give encouragement to others and it will do them good. But I'm here to tell you, it will do you good as well. There'll be a blessing in it for you. And so many times we've come fed up and we say, well, what am I going to get out of this? Or I'm not going to get anything out of this. It's because we haven't come with the right mindset. We haven't come with the right attitude in being able to share and spend time in the fellowship. The Hebrews writer says in Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 24, let us consider how to stimulate one another to love and good deeds. Not the forsaking of ourselves as the manner of some, but do so all the more as you see the day approaching. One of the reasons that we assemble in worship is so that we might consider how to stimulate one another to love and good deeds. I hope you've already encouraged somebody today, or before you leave here in just a few moments, you will have encouraged someone. When you do that, you'll get the very most out of worship. Then there's the preaching or the doctrine. That's course number 4 in this wonderful spiritual feast. I hope that you truly listen and follow along to the scripture reading. Maybe once again in your own mind, repeating the words as the reader gives them, that you can drink in and get the most out of it. Sometimes, yes, they read in a different translation from maybe what you have in front of you. But again, that's a wonderful way to exercise the mind, to listen to one translation, read it out of another, and gain the very most that's possible from that reading. Unfortunately, too many people, I hear anyway, don't always see because I sit up toward the front, are fidgeting or they're doing something during the reading of God's Word. Every now and then we stand and show great respect to God's Word by doing that during the reading. And I like that because it is. It's God speaking through His Word, and truly we need to pay attention to that. Of course, the sermon then follows the scripture reading and our particular order of worship in this place. And it is a time where we let God do the talking. And of course, I'm not speaking about myself, but rather I try to preach from the Word of God and share with you things from the Word of God that will help you and instruct you. And if you'll come to this worship with the right mindset and the right attitude and not already be just fed up, we can have all kinds of things to feast on from the Word of God. It's a matter of that of attitude. And then there's giving and singing. Truly, giving is a way in which we show our appreciation and our joy unto God. One of the things that I learned from the Greek language there in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, where it says, God loves a cheerful giver, that is the Greek word by which could also be translated hilarious. If there's any part of the worship service that we should truly enjoy, just almost giddy about, just excited about, that pleases us to no end, it's the giving part. And how many times is it something we have just the opposite attitude? Oh, the church is always wanting money, or they want this and they want that. The Apostle Paul says that food for the fed up says it's time to change our attitude about giving. That we are to be hilarious givers, that nothing could please us more to have the opportunity to be able to give unto God and to see ministry go on because of the things that we've done. Yes, it should be, of all 6 of these things, I believe giving the most fun of them all. Lastly, singing. We sing because we make music in our heart. So many people are just so downcast. They're so depressed about life. They find that it's just a drudgery, and you go to work, and then you go home, and you pay the bills, and you go to sleep, and you do the whole thing again the very next day. I'm here to tell you that great congregational a cappella singing lifts the heart. And if you haven't tried it, you need to. That truly, if you come in the attitude of, well, what am I going to get out of this? And it's just going to be another dry as dust, another sermon, another service. You're coming with the wrong attitude. And truly, singing should be able to lift that attitude. It makes joy in your heart when you can think about how good God is and let it out. I don't believe there's any accident whatsoever that I read about in Matthew chapter 26 and verse 30, that after Jesus had shared the Last Supper with his apostles there in the upper room, it says that they sang a hymn and then he went out to the Mount of Olives. The last time he was going to be with the 12, he was truly headed to the cross. He was headed to that rendezvous with the death. He was headed to that rendezvous where he was going to be betrayed by Judas and handed over to the chief priests and the scribes. And one way that Jesus used to ease the tension, to ease the weight of the moment, was to sing a song with his apostles. I hope when you come together to worship, yes, in song, you want to glorify God. You want to magnify and glorify His name, just as we sang. And that in turn lifts your heart and gives you praise, gives you joy, gives you the understanding that you need. That's our six-course meal. And I hope you don't come and see it as just as food for the fed up, but that you want to find it in a way in which you can be truly fed from the Word of God. Third, don't take a nap then after dinner. Too many people do. Get that big meal, I'm talking about a physical meal now, and say, oh, I got to go take a nap, I'm just so full. And maybe physically speaking that would be the right thing to do, but I'm here to tell you that any good diet, again, physically speaking, any good diet would include exercise. That truly, any time you want to get the body in tune and you say, I'm going to not eat the things that I should, I'm going to eat the things I'm supposed to eat, I'm going to show moderation in portion, and I'm also going to start exercising, the whole thing works together for good physical health. I believe it works for good spiritual health as well. Paul told Timothy, exercise thyself in godliness. You need to use what you got. Truly think about all the things that I'm talking about today, or maybe that you learned in Bible class this morning, and say, how am I going to use that? How am I going to put all that good stuff to work? How am I going to spiritually exercise all that I've taken in? So many times we don't think that way, and we come just thinking, well, I need to be entertained by the song leader. I need to be entertained by the preacher and his lesson. And we've come with the wrong attitude, unfortunately, when we think that way. That truly we've been fed up so that we can exercise godliness, that we can serve other people, that we can share the Word of God, we can learn to say no to temptation, that we can be better husbands and better wives and better parents and better children, better workers, better bosses. Whatever relationship you have, take what you have and exercise unto godliness. Don't take that nap after Sunday and say, well, I've done my Sunday thing for the week, I'm going to coast now until next Sunday. You're not getting the most out of your feast. You're not getting the most out of worship when you do that. And finally then this morning, I don't believe that one meal is ever enough. I like 3 to 4 meals a day, don't you? I mean, they tell us, you know, some dietitians even say to eat 6 times a day and eat very light those 6 times a day, and that's actually healthier than 3 times a day. And then the old standby is 3 square meals a day, and I don't have a problem with that either. Because, you see, I don't believe one meal's enough. I'd be on a starvation diet if I just had one meal a day. I don't care how big it was. And you would be too. The fact of the matter is, we know from the physical realm that starvation diets don't work. Fact is, they're usually very harmful, and they backfire. And when we say we're going to go on a diet to lose weight, and we go on this starvation plan, oh, it may work for a little while, and we end up then binging, and we end up being worse off than what we were before. Truly, when it comes to spiritual diet, we need a constant diet of the Word of God. We need to be here every time the doors are open to have that spiritual feast, because it's my opinion that one meal is not enough. That truly some of us might actually be on spiritual starvation diets and don't realize it, because we're feeding on junk. We're feeding on the courses of the world and that which it has to feed us, and don't realize truly how empty that really is. But to be here and to feast on the Word of God and to fellowship and do all the things that we do when we come together, that's a spiritual diet that'll work. Good religious books are fine. Read all that you can find, but realize they're no substitute for the Bible and studying God's Word. Some people hang pictures and have religious trinkets on their desks at work, but remember, that's not spirituality. I like to read bumper stickers just like anybody else, but when that person who's got that religious bumper sticker is going 80 miles an hour down the interstate by me, I gotta wonder sometimes, is there any true spirituality there? And yeah, it's funny, but you know what I'm talking about. It's not a substitute for the real thing in getting to know Jesus as our Lord. Some people listen to Christian music and spend a lot of time with sermon tapes and listening to sermons online, and there's great value in that. But truly, remember, Christianity is not a spectator sport. It's just not being a sponge and not wringing that sponge out every now and then and serving others and getting out there and being able to help and to preach and to serve and do what God wants done. Don't make the mistake of reading good religious books and hanging pictures and having religious trinkets and listening to sermon tapes and think that's a substitute for the real thing. The real thing is coming together as a body of Christ. Just as the Hebrews writer said, do so all the more as you see the day approaching. And truly, you'll find there a spiritual feast that'll work because it's focused on the Scriptures. It's focused on God and being like His Son, Jesus Christ. Yes, it's my opinion, one meal a week is not enough. And so in conclusion then, food for the fed up means it's time for a checkup from the neck up. It's time to look at our attitude as to why we're here. And maybe if you're not getting out of worship what you think you should, it's time for that attitude adjustment. Get ready for dinner. Make sure that your attitude is, feed me, I'm hungry. Sit down to the meal. Don't nibble and snack on things ahead of time that will distract you from gaining all that you can gain from being together. Don't take a nap after dinner. Use what you've learned during the week. Take a principle that you heard in a prayer, a principle that you heard in a song, yes, a principle you've heard in a sermon or the Bible class reading, and say, that's how I'm going to live this week. That's what I'm going to work on. Don't take a nap. Use what you've learned, and I'll guarantee you, you're ready to come back the next time and get even more. And realize that one meal is never enough. Don't go on a spiritual starvation diet, but rather have a diet that's wholesome and hearty and ever-present on the Word of God. Jesus is bread and drink to those who are truly hungry. And so as we offer heaven's invitation this morning, we do so wanting those who need to be right with God to do just that, to make sure before you leave this morning that you're right with God. If you need to become a Christian this morning, you do so by coming in faith, repenting of your sins, confessing His beautiful name, and then being buried in the waters of baptism. By doing that, you'll have all your sins washed away. You'll receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, automatically added to His body, the church, have the hope of eternal life. Maybe as a child of God, you've been feeding on the wrong things, and your attitude's no good, and you're just kind of fed up, and it's time to empty all that junk out of your system and come back and start feeding on the pure Word of God and as often as you possibly can. Then come confessing those sins, repenting of them, and we'll pray to God with you that He'll set you back where you need to be. Do you need to come? Won't you come now while we stand and while we stand?